Okay, so what are you holding in your hand? You are holding a prayer card. This is something that all of our missionaries, we beg and ask them to do. And this gets their information in front of the people, and you are the people. And what do I mean by that? We represent a church of the Baptist Missionary Association. This is one of our own. Folks, we're not the only ones here, okay? So please don't ever think that that's what Brother Ben is pushing. We've got Southern Baptist brothers and sisters. We've got Independent Baptists. We've got Evangelical Free brothers and sisters. And I could go down the list of long lines of denominations that, in my humble opinion, preach the truth. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. And they all have missionary organizations. Great, tremendous. I think it takes all of us. But we have some of our own out there. I believe that God explicitly expects us to take care of. I liken it unto when Molly went to college. There were some other families that their kids went to college too that I love. But if my daughter found out that I was supporting one of those families' children, much less supporting them more than I was supporting her, that would cause some problems. It would. These are the folks that God has led us as an association to put on the field. And so we've got to support them. Now, there is a financial need here, but that's not the main reason I'm bringing this to you today. God has literally orchestrated quite a few circumstantial situations to get Brother Michael in front of us Friday to speak to us. I don't know if you noticed here, Minnesota. Guess what town he's in? Minneapolis. This fella is on the front line. George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's on the front line. He has had protests outside his house. And he could tell you better than I, so I'm not going to try to quote him, but hear me when I tell you, they by choice chose to move into a house that they call in the hood. And they have an unbelievable ministry to people that are struggling daily. They feed most of their neighborhood some way at some point in time. Brad Bannerman, of course, y'all know Brad, joked with him about the 10 p.m. barbecues with 2x4s. You know, well, that's not what I'm talking about. Even though they'll show grace and love to them too, to their neighbors, they're meeting needs. They have Bible studies in their home. They're teaching dads how to be dads. They're teaching moms how to be moms. Look at all those kids. You think they know how to do that? Yeah. And they've got twins on the way. They've got twins on the way. So, I know you. I know you wanted to see this. I know that you want it because I'm asking you to put this on, you know, somewhere that it'll stick, somewhere that you'll see. Our refrigerator is just full of stuff like this. And so I'm asking you to add this to your prayer list. If God leads us as a church to support financially, we'll go from there type thing. But right now, I just wanted, and we had another young man. I didn't get a prayer card from him. But I joked with my wife. Christian Martinez, just an amazing, amazing young man. Hispanic. He didn't go into it, but I would absolutely promise you, guarantee you that he was raised up, because he said he was raised in a Christian home and such. He was probably raised up in a Christian home that was won to Christ through Buddy Johnson or Grady Johnson or Eric Johnson, one of those Johnsons, because they have absolutely littered through Mexico small churches preaching the gospel. And I mean that. And so Christian Martinez married a woman from Romania, and he has two children that were born in Texas. He said, we are a biracial, international family, and they're going to Romania to preach the gospel to the gypsies in Romania. Now, I thought about doing this to just kind of mess with you a little bit, But I'm not going to do it, okay? But I thought about putting some kind of a prize out there for anybody that knew what the 1040 window is. Anybody in here, do you know what the... You're not in trouble if you don't know. You shouldn't... If anything, you should blame your pastor. The 1040 window on the longitude... How do you say that? Yeah. You know, they've got the world in a grid. Yeah. And pilots use it and such. So the 1040 window in the world is where the most unreached, poorest people groups live. And it also happens to be where most of the world lives. So it includes China. It includes all the Middle East. It includes North Africa. And it includes Romania. And, well, actually, Romania is right on the northern tip. And so what Brother Christian was saying was that they're hoping to become an outreach post to the 1040 window. That's pretty cool stuff. You know, this is something that I want you to know. Everything has its own world, okay? Well, missions has its own world. It has its own phrases. It has its own catch words and all that neat stuff. And 1040 window is one of those things. And if you know what the 1040 window means, ooh, you're big time in the mission world. Okay, and so I just wanted to try to educate you on that. So I don't have a prayer card to give you for Christian, and I'm sorry. The Merrimack Association moved because the Lord has blessed us. We have not planted a church in Missouri in 20 plus years. As a result, we have $200,000 plus dollars in the Merrimack Missions Fund. We have right at that plus in the state missions fund. And I call those soldiers. And those soldier dollar bills are just sitting there. And they need to go to work. So until God gives us a planter, a church planter from Missouri, we're going to start putting some of those soldiers to work. So we've sent 20,000 of those soldiers with Brother Mike Strong. We sent 12,000 of those soldiers with Brother Christian Martinez. And because the goal was to deplete, thank you, Brother Gary, to deplete our fund by $50,000 towards missions. And we had our missions office give us several, 20 ideas, and we came up with about 8 that we are supporting. There is a church that we're giving $5,000 to in Africa. They're called the Church on the Move. You know why? They don't have a roof for their building yet, so they meet under a tree. As the sun comes up, the church moves with the shade. Isn't that awesome? It's the Church on the Move. I'm telling you. It was a great meeting. It was a great meeting because the emphasis was on missions. When we became a quote-unquote group, the Baptist Missionary Association, we chose in 1950 on Lakeland, Florida Beach, we chose to put missionary in our name. Why? Because we wanted that to be the focus. Because I believe God blesses that. So here we go. September the 27th, 2020. That's today. How have I been leading myself? How have I been leading myself? This was the message that was preached at the annual meeting. I want to share it with you today because it so impacted me. He went on to ask this question: how have I been leading myself in Bible study? How have I been leading myself in prayer? How have I been leading myself in missions? And you honestly could just go from there, filling in the blank. How have I been leading myself in holiness? How have I been leading myself in how I lead my spouse, my children? How have I been leading myself in how I reach out to my neighbors? And again, just fill in the blank. So we're going to look at Genesis 41. We're going to look at the story of Joseph. And I say this with tongue in cheek, but I'm not as excited about preaching this message for second service as I am for first service, because Brother Gavin's going to be in second service, and Brother Gavin is our local expert on Joseph. Gavin has dove into the life of Joseph more than anybody I personally know, because Joseph's circumstantial situations have so intrigued Brother Gavin. And as you know, the book, I apologize, I didn't drink enough Mountain Dew apparently this morning, but his book on pain, the message of pain. You think about what Joseph went through. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, let me share with you just real quickly. Joseph, God had his hand on him pretty much from the beginning. And Joseph was born in that family, that Israeli family that started it all. All the tribes of Israel came out of Joseph's family. And Joseph had a dream. And bless his heart, he didn't have the wisdom not to share it. I got some really good advice years ago. You don't share every dream. You don't. You just wait and see if God brings it to fulfillment. What am I talking about? Can you imagine? You've got 12 brothers, and one of them pops up and says, "Hey guys, guess what? I had a dream that every one of you are going to bow to me. Isn't that great?" No. It was so ungrateful that they sold him into slavery. They almost killed him. But Judah, one of the brothers, says, no. Let's just do one better and just get rid of him. That way his blood is not on our hands. And they came up with this unbelievable concoction that they killed a lamb and took his coat of many colors. Because, see, this is the other part of that story. The dad bought into the favoritism. The dad showed unbiblical, unspiritual favoritism. And families, if you're struggling with this, I'm begging you, work it out with God and His Word. Yes, you can love your children different, but you should not love some children more. And amens rang throughout the building. Yeah, I'm telling you, you should not show favoritism. I've shared with you my situation when I was a little kid. These two spinster maids who were sisters, they were determined to find out which one of us boys loved our mother more than our dad or our dad more than our mother. And it's so, because they did it every Sunday. Which one do you love most? We went to mom and dad, and you know what they told them? Told us, you tell them we love them equally. And that was dad and mom's opportunity to share with us three boys, we love you equally too. We don't love you necessarily, quote unquote, in the same way, because you each have different things. You each have different love interests and the such. And so we try to meet those needs, but we love you the same, but we love you in different ways. I love Benjamin completely, totally, in a way different than I love Tony. The only way to get Tony in the woods is to grab him by the nape of the neck and pull him screaming and kicking. That's not conducive to hunting. So I love Tony by trying to support his cross-country meets and buy him whatever food he wants. He's the only thin one in the family, so I feel like that's a safe thing. You see what I'm saying? And so the dad here did not. He absolutely made it clear, Joseph is my favorite. And so the brothers hated him. So they sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, the Bible is clear. Everywhere Joseph went, God had his hand on him. And he became the leader of Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's house grew financially. And it was wonderful until Potiphar's wife decided she wanted Joseph. And the Bible says that when she made her move, I love what Adrian Rogers said, Joseph saturated that place with his absence. He ran. And young men and young women, when you are confronted with an unholy situation, you saturate that place with your absence. You run. And so Joseph found himself in jail, because you know what she did. He tried to rape me, and there he goes. He's in jail. And so now Joseph is literally pining away in jail. Two men end up in jail with him. The butcher and the baker. And they both had dreams. And Joseph interpreted those dreams. And those dreams were absolutely accurate. The one, he said, the baker, you're going to be reinstated. The butcher, you're going to die. He told him. He told him the truth. Guess what? The butcher died. The baker went back to the palace. 2 years later, we see what's going on here in chapter 41. Would you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, that's cattle, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and leans, ill-favored, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk and rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured, the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and the Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler, so I had his designation wrong, he's not a baker, he's a butler, unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day, because he's waited 2 years to tell the Pharaoh what Joseph had done. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. So I had them reversed. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not me, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine fat. In other words, they were well-fed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full good. And behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and the ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because this thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise. Set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. How have I been leading myself? Am I ready for such an opportunity as this? Am I ready? Maybe it won't be to this degree, but if you will, in comparison, in yours and my situation, it might be equal to that. That you and I are never going to be standing before the leader of the known world, but we are standing as the leaders of our known world. And when we have this significant of a situation face us, have I been leading myself in such a way that I can face it with confidence? One thing that I have begged you as a church to do is, number one, to know, and number one, to have the confidence that you could drop everything and get into the throne room of God when you need to. Biblically, every person in here that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the God-given, heaven-afforded right to walk into the throne room of God anytime. And you need to know, number one, that you can do that, and you need to have the confidence to do that when that time arises. So point number one, Joseph led himself spiritually no matter the consequences. Joseph had just come through a period, I think most people would argue, were some of the worst circumstances anyone could come through. He was betrayed by every brother besides Benjamin. Every brother betrayed him. Some wanted to kill him. He was thrown into a cave. And then he was sold into slavery. Then he had a moment, if you will, we don't know exactly how long, perhaps a year or two, of where he experienced, quote unquote, good circumstantial consequences, but yet, once again, thrown into jail. Wrongly accused. I can't speak for you, but that's some of the hardest things to handle, is when I've been wrongly accused. And now he's in prison. He's once again been placed in a position of authority because the head guard saw this man's organizational abilities and said, here you go, run my prison for me. And he did. And then he does an absolute solid favor for two men. And what do? The one that lived forgot him. I can't speak for you, but three strikes, you're out type thing. But yet, the scripture is very clear. He never doubted God. I'm not telling you he wasn't tempted to doubt God. I'm telling you he never doubted God. He stayed true. He stayed true. God rewarded that. I love this phrase. We can't expect God to call us to the palace if we haven't been faithful to him in the prison. You might look at your situation now and think, this is not where I want to be. I want to be there, or I think I ought to be there. Church, listen to me. You are where God wants you right now. Bloom where you're planted. Blossom where you're planted. If it's God's will, he'll take you there. But where you're at is where you're supposed to be. And God is working on you, and he's working through you. And watch this. Where you're at may just be the place where God can get the most glory. And ultimately, that's the issue. Point number two, he knew the difference between the source and the resource. Can you imagine? Because I can't, you know, I'm sure we've all been in these situations where we think, I'm fixing to hear something positive. It's coming. I'm fixing to hear something I really wanted to hear. And Joseph was just a few hours before not presentable to the palace. Well, now all of a sudden he's presentable. He shaved, he took a shower, put nice clothes on, and he's standing in front of the leader of the world. And folks, I mean, this is his opportunity. Ask for what you want. He doesn't do that. He points Pharaoh to God. When Pharaoh says, I need you to interpret, Joseph says, well, we need to just get one thing straight. I can't do squat. I'm going to pray to God, and God is going to bring peace to Pharaoh. Church, every one of us ought to do the same. You'll have people that try to praise you and give you accolades. I think it's okay to say thank you very much, but there needs to be that holy contraction. But you need to know that if anything positive comes from me, it's because of Jesus. There's not a single touchdown that's going to be scored today by that person's own physical ability. It'll be physical ability that God gave them. And you and I need to absolutely believe that. We need to know that the difference between the source and the resource. Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph is saying, I'm not the source, but I can point you to the source. Joseph wanted all glory to go to God. He took pressure off himself and on to God. And church, I'm telling you, that's so important. There's not a funeral sitting at that seat at Russell Funeral Home that I don't pause and say, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. I'm not the good funeral preacher. You are the God of peace and comfort. I'm asking you to use me as a vessel today. Paul said, you and I are ambassadors sent from the throne room of God to do his bidding. Point number three, verses 25 through 32, he was transparent and he told the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is, for me, this is the hardest thing. Sometimes setting in a counseling setting, I know what I've got to say. And they're not going to like what I've got to say. If I'm going to be true to the God that called me, I'm going to say what needs to be said. And we've talked about this before. That's who you need behind this pulpit. You do not need somebody who's going to tickle your ears and say what you want to hear. You need someone to tell you what's coming. You need someone to love you enough to tell you the truth. And can you imagine? I mean, Pharaoh put on a happy face, but can you imagine? I'm fixing to have seven of the greatest years of my life, but then I'm going to have 7 years that completely take away those 7 years. That's not good news. But watch this. The good news is I have the knowledge before those 14 years start. So now I can enter these 7 years of plenty, and I can store. I can put back. I can prepare. And have you thought of the logistical nightmare? I mean, folks, I've dabbled just a little bit in agriculture enough to know that stuff ruins. Yeah, and you're going to save corn for 14 years type thing. And so, just a little aside, they actually found some kernels of corn in one of the pyramids 400 years old, and it germinated. Wow, what a coincidence. No, God put that in that little kernel of corn. He knows what he's doing, church. And when you and I will cooperate with God, we can get things done that we never thought imaginable. He was transparent and he told the truth. Church, there's only one thing that your friends, neighbors, and relatives need more than anything else from you, and that's the truth. The truth. You are a sinner. I love you, but you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need a Savior. We have one. His name is Jesus. Point number four, he saw crisis as an opportunity, not as an obstacle. God wants to use you for his glory in this opportunity. Now, I just got to share this with you. One of the men that God has used to impact my life more than anybody else is David Dixon. David Dixon was missionary to the Garifuna people in Brazil and Belize. And He's just an amazing guy. But I've heard this all my life. They're not problems, brother. They're opportunities. And I agree with that. And that's what this point is saying. But Brother David brought the other side of it. And you just got to understand that Brother David is not glass half full guy. You see, the guy that coined that phrase, they're not problems, they're opportunities. He's a glass half full. David is, that glass is half empty. All right? And David says, you know, I'm sorry, but when I've got a problem in front of me, I don't want some yahoo telling me it's not a problem, it's an opportunity, brother. Because right now, all I'm seeing is problem. So, watch this. Church, if you're the glass half full, when I said you don't have a problem, you have an opportunity, you're like, amen. If you're a glass half empty person, you're like, you're full of bull. I get that. I get it. Watch this. It's all about the attitude. It's all about the attitude. Now, this guy over here has to quit being a cheerleader long enough to say, okay, God, what are we going to do? This guy over here has to quit being a Debbie Downer long enough to say, but God, what are we going to do? But no matter where you start, if you don't end up here, that's when you're in trouble. Church, the person that just says platitudes all the time, I got no time for that. The person over here that just always sees problems, I got no time for that. I need to know, is there a God? Yes. Does he have a plan? Absolutely. Lord, what is it? And that's where Joseph was coming from. Now that you know the truth, let's come up with a plan. And I'm begging you, no matter which spectrum you're from, work through that and come to the middle and say, okay, but it is about attitude, and the attitude is based on, can God handle this? Church, I want to ask you a question. Can God handle your problem? And the answer is yes. Okay, so no matter where we're coming from here, we get right here, you've got a plan. Remember that? God has a thousand ways to make a way for you. He saw crisis as an opportunity, not as an obstacle. God wants to use you for his glory in this opportunity. Number five, he refused to promote himself. He refused to promote himself. So in that passage there that we read, 33 through 36, he tells Pharaoh who you need to go get, but he stopped short of saying, and I happen to be available. You can go on Indeed and find my app there. No, he didn't do that. He said, this is the person you need, and then he remained quiet. Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7 says this, Do not put yourself in the presence of the king and stand out in the place of great men, for better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. In other words, let someone else put authority and accolades upon you rather than yourself. Point number six. Genesis 41, verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man is, whom the Spirit of God is? So, as I was listening Friday to this message that I'm sharing with you, it culminated in this truth. You've heard me say this over and over and over. The Holy Spirit is King. The Holy Spirit is King. Am I elevating him above Jesus and God? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, God in Jesus has deposited himself in you via the Holy Spirit. And Pharaoh is saying, is there anybody else? Look, I called all these wise men Nobody else in this room could interpret the dream but this man. Why? Because the Spirit of God rests upon him. Church, at your family, at your home, at your workplace, at your neighborhood, they ought to be able to look to you because the Holy Spirit rests upon you. That's the truth. You and I the key, number six here, our greatest need is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Other qualities are important, but being filled with the Spirit is indispensable. Well, Brother Ben, we need this guy because he can really talk. Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Brother Ben, we need this guy because he's got money. Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Brother Ben, we need this man because he's got connections. Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Because watch this. The Holy Spirit can talk better than anybody. The Holy Spirit's got more money than anybody. And the Holy Spirit's better connected than anybody. Yeah, yeah. I fear, church, that we are approaching a day and a time that we may have to literally rely upon the Holy Spirit in ways we've never done it before. And you and I better have the confidence that we can. He's king. He's king. Jesus is king. God is king. They three exist in one. And you have one of them residing inside of you. And you need to walk with him, talk with him, sleep with him, rise with him. You need to work with him. You need to, he needs to be the leader of your life. Number seven, and in closing, Genesis 41:54, in the 7 years of dearth, began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the land, and in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. There was bread. So, lastly, point number seven, be willing to make unpopular decisions. You see, somebody had to be willing to put their corn in the silo. Well, what does that mean? I'm not really sure because I wasn't alive at that time. But there are some possible implications here. Maybe they didn't get paid when they needed or wanted to get paid. Maybe they didn't get to eat their own corn. You know, some of us are like that. I want my own deer. Yeah, yeah. We have some horror stories. You know, you show up with this deer of 30 pounds, and the guy, he puts your deer in the cooler, and he walks out with 30 pounds of prepared meat and says, here you go. Huh? Because we don't know what that deer has been through. You know? And so all sorts of unpopular decisions had to be made. Church, if you and I are going to be the man, woman, boy, or girl that God wants us to be, we're going to have to be willing to make unpopular decisions occasionally. So I'm going to leave you with this. This has been the joke of the week. I can't explain it. It just came to me, and I've shared it I don't know how many times, and I think it goes in along with what I'm saying here. But it's just a good one. I'm pretty sure you can still see this on YouTube. Ken Davis. Ken Davis trying to be a spiritual, godly father. He's got a little 3-4-year-old girl that upstairs in her room, she's not going to sleep. And she keeps asking for water. She's already had water, type thing. And he says, no, we're done. Go to sleep. And she's like, I need water. Go to sleep. But Dad, I just want some water. If I come up there, you're not gonna like it. And she says, well, when you come, bring water. A very unpopular decision had to be made that night. And of course, you know, girls and their dads, that probably turned out good for the girl that night. But the reality is, we're all faced with some unpopular decisions. Watch this. God will absolutely bless the unpopular decisions if you'll make them for his glory. Church, we have an unprecedented time in front of us. Years ago, I started the practice of looking at conservative news sources every day just to see what has blown apart. Now, I don't have to guess. I know I'm fixing to see something new. I know I am. It's just where we're living. But with those difficulties come all sorts of opportunities. The same people, Brother Mike and his family, have been at Minneapolis for since 2012. The same families that were like, no, preacher, I don't need that gospel, now are saying, okay, tell me about, help me understand this. And he and they are winning people to Christ because of what's going on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. We can have the same experience. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? This is an invitation. This isn't for coercion. This isn't for strong arming. If that Holy Spirit that we have been talking about, and he's not a that, he's a he. If he has been working on you and you need to come, we'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just need to turn this into an old-fashioned altar. Whatever the case may be, will you come?